If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John. We'll be in chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us as our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Good evening. Thank you, Hayden. It's good to see all you out tonight, and it's certainly been a blessing to be able to come home for the summer since school has been out and be able to spend this precious time that we have together, just be able to spend it with all of you. First off, I want to say thank you to Brother Steve and Brother David and Brother Dale for asking me to speak to you tonight, and I hope that you and I are both able to take something from this lesson that will help us to reflect on our lives and help us to become the best followers of Christ that we can be. When I was trying to come up with a lesson for tonight, I thought of speaking about Christ in the sense of how he is our advocator, about how he is our intercessor between us and God. And we will talk about that for a little bit tonight. But really, we already know that. We know that he was sent to this earth to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins and to fill the void that sin has created between us and God. So that really got me thinking about what our sin has cost us and how it has caused us to need a perfect sacrifice. And that is really what I want to talk to you about tonight, is sin, what it cost, and how we can prevent it from being in our lives. If you would like, you can go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 John. That's where most of our scripture will be coming from tonight. And pertaining to the cost of sin, the price of sin, there is a little analogy that I would like to share with you to clear up with what I mean. And the analogy goes like this. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began a hike up a mountain to assess the fire's damage to the park. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in its own ashes, perched on the ground at the base of a tree. When he saw it, he was somewhat sickened by the sight, so he knocked the bird over with a stick. But when he hit it, three tiny chicks scurried out from under the wings of their dead mother. The loving mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her little ones to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings, seemingly knowing the toxic smoke would rise up. She could have flown to safety, but refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze arrived and the heat had scorched her body, she remained steadfast because she was willing to die. Those under her protection of her wings could live. It's interesting to think that Jesus, much like this mother bird, could have avoided the agony and the pain that he endured. He could have called a legion of angels, 10,000 angels, as we sing about in a song. Or, beyond our imagination, he could have spoke the world out of existence, and it would have been so. But because of his undying love for all of mankind, he remained steadfast and endured the cross so we could live in eternity with him one day. Now, I know that seems like a pretty gloomy topic to talk about, to think about, really, but if he wouldn't have endured the cross, we would have no hope for salvation. We would have no redemption. I think it is necessary to realize that Jesus paid the price for our sin. But what is sin, and why do we have to do that? Why did he have to do that for us? I think this is a good question for us to understand what is the basis of sin. In 1 John, it gives us two definitions of sin. The first definition is lawlessness, which means to reject God's word or to go against his will for us. And the second definition it gives us is unrighteousness, which in this context, it's characterized into doing something wrong. John tells us of a problem with sin in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, which is what Hayden just read for us. Specifically in verse 8 and in verse 10, it tells us that it is impossible for us, even as Christians, to live a sinless life, and he readily admits that. So now that we have covered a basis of sin, let's talk a little bit about what the price of sin is. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. So we know that by reading that, the cleansing of our sins came at a price with Jesus' blood. We are told that because of our sins, God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus was, is, and always will be qualified to be our sacrificial lamb because in him there is no sin. We know that the redemptive work of Jesus was prompted and motivated by the unconditional and undying love God has for us. And since Jesus was the appeasing and atoning sacrifice for our sins, there are several things that we can receive at the cost of his sacrifice. First, we receive the propitiation of our sins. Through his sacrifice, God has been appeased or has satisfied his own character by sending Christ to the cross. Another thing we can enjoy is the advocacy of Jesus. Or in other words, he is our defense against our own sins, that he stands against our sinful actions. We can also look at other blessings as well, like we have already hit on one, and that is the permanent removal of the guilt or the burden of past sins. We receive the blessing of perpetual cleansing or forgiveness from all other sins, present and future. We receive the blessing of ending the ruling of sin in our lives. And we also receive the fellowship with other Christians, the blessing of fellowship with other Christians and being in the body of Christ. And lastly, we receive the blessing of anticipation of eternal life. And we know there's many other blessings that we receive from Jesus' atoning sacrifice. As Christians, we need to understand the totality of the Bible's teachings on the appeasing work of Jesus. The word propitiation, and I hope I'm saying that right, appears four times in the New Testament. And when we put these four texts together, we learn the reasoning behind the appeasing work of Jesus. It includes God's justification for sinners, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the objective behind Jesus' total ministry, which is to seek and save the lost, and God's love for mankind. Now, there are three facts concerning the appeasing work of Jesus that every person must understand and we as Christians need to understand. When talking about propitiation, we talk about it's a work of God. It was God who took the initiative to appease his own character and to satisfy his own justice. Propitiation was made possible by the redeeming blood of Jesus. And finally, the appeasing work of Jesus reveals to all of humanity that righteousness is of God. As Christians, we need to appreciate the character of Jesus, which qualifies him to be our advocate before God. And as Christians, we must strive not to engage in habitual and sinful activity. Sin is inevitable in the life of a Christian or anyone's life, but we can and must prevent ourselves from being controlled by sin. And there are several reasons for this. One reason is because of the nature of sin. As we have already talked about, it is lawlessness and unrighteousness. One who chooses to live lawlessly or unrighteously cannot enter into heaven, as it talks about in Matthew chapter 7. Secondly, because of the purpose of Jesus' life and ministry, we know that he came to take away sins and destroy the work of the power of the devil. So when we choose to be habitually involved in sin, we reject Jesus' entire purpose of coming to this world. And lastly, the nature of the Christian life. The Bible teaches that a tree is known by its fruit. So whether a person is a child of God or of the devil is determined by the life they choose to live. And we know that that a Christian does not choose to practice sin. One more thing that we need to understand as Christians, we will deal with sin victoriously when we better understand the Bible's teaching about sin. The Bible tells us that sin is a deliberate breaking of God's law. And we also told that because of our sins, Jesus had to die on the cross. The Bible tells us that we sin because we are unwilling to abide in Jesus or let His Word abide in us. God tells us that sin is conquered through the power of Jesus' atoning blood. So, in simple, what is the price of sin? It was the ultimate and perfect atoning sacrifice of Christ. He paid the cost with His own life on the cross, and sin has caused us to have a barrier between us and God, and it has caused us to need a plan of salvation, a way of redemption. But John also lays out some preventives that we can have in our life to keep from sin creeping back in time and time again. An analogy to go along with this, one more analogy, goes like this. Two Christian men walked upon a swollen river. An attractive woman was there, but she was dressed rather inappropriately. And she stood waiting, wanting to cross to the other side, but was fearful of the raging river. So one of the Christian men asked, "May I help you?" She replied, "I need to cross the river, but I can't." The Christian picked her up, put her on his shoulders, and carried her through the torrential current, putting her down safely on the other side. Afterwards, both Christian men continued on their journey. That evening, the helpful Christian's companion said, "I have a bone to pick with you. As Christians, we have been taught not to look at a woman, or better yet, touch her inappropriately. But back there, you did both." The helpful Christian replied, "My dear brother, I put the woman down on the other side of the river, but you are still carrying her in your mind." When you think about it, sin can be like that, right? Sometimes it's really hard to get out of our minds and out of our lives. But in the book of 1 John, it gives us several different ways to prevent sin from taking over our lives. One prevention of sin begins with our new birth. The Bible says that the new birth takes place when one is born of water and of the Spirit. John states that whoever has been born of God does not practice sin. In this context, we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to practice something? And it means to adopt a lifestyle that expresses itself through various actions or activities. John is not suggesting here that as a Christian, we will never sin or that it is impossible for us to sin. He is affirming that once we are born again, sin will no longer be able to control our lives. We won't have the habit of letting it keep coming back. John also states that when someone is truly born of God, they will strive to do several different things. They will strive to practice righteousness, as it talks about in 1 John 2:29. They will labor to keep himself from sin, as it talks about in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. They will always endeavor to love his Christian brethren, as it talks about in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And they will strive to be victorious over the world, as it talks about in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Another prevention of sin is accomplished through our abiding in Christ. Jesus was manifested to take our sins away. The blessing of forgiveness, or the removal of our sins, is received when we are born again, as we talked about just a moment ago. But when we're born again, what are we born into? We are born into Christ. We are committed to abide in Him for the remainder of our lives. That is the commitment that we make when we put Him on in baptism. So this intimate relationship that we have in Christ is confirmed by the receiving of the Holy Spirit following our baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. In the book of John, we are also told that this intimacy is maintained and nurtured when we choose not to engage in habitual and sinful activities. And if we continue to practice sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 through 10 tells us that our intimate relationship with Jesus will be broken, that our allegiance will revert back to the devil, and we will choose to rebel against what is right. Another prevention of sin is perpetuated when God's Word abides in us. Like we said already, one who is born of God, one of Christ, chooses not to practice sin. The reason a Christian chooses to practice sin is because, as it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, God's seed remains in us, and we cannot habitually practice sin. The expression, quote-unquote, his seed, is an explicit reference to the Word of God. David echoes John's affirmation here by declaring, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." He says that in Psalms 119, verse 11. If you think about a seed for a second, we know that depending on the type of seed will determine the nature of whatever it produces. Therefore, if the word of God remains in us, then our daily lives will manifest and turn into the nature and likeness of God. The fourth prevention of sin is achieved through our humble obedience to God's express commands. What does the phrase, quote unquote, to keep something mean? Well, in this context, it means to give heed or to observe something. It is also a present tense verb, suggesting that we are continually to obey God's commands. However, one of our greatest challenges as Christians is to consistently practice our allegiance to God. John reminds us that God's commandments are not burdensome, and our obedience towards them, will manifest our genuine love for God. When we choose to keep God's commandments, we are promised a numerous amount of blessings. Just to list a few, we are promised we get to know God or to get to convey a relationship with Him on a personal level. We're promised the perfecting of God's love in us. We're promised to be able to walk like Jesus in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. We're promised the certainty of answered prayer in 1 John 3 and 22. We're promised genuine happiness, as it talks about in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And we know that we can receive the promise of anticipating and the certainty of eternal life, as it talks about in Matthew 19, verse 17. And the last prevention I have tonight is to keep sin out of our life can be achieved when we walk in the light. In this context, we typically use the word walk to describe the activities or manner of one's life. We might say it refers to one's lifestyle. How we walk or how we carry ourselves in our lives is a choice. So we can either walk in the light, choosing to live for God as Jesus did, or we can walk in darkness, choosing to live against God. There are different things that make us walk in the darkness and that can manifest itself in different ways. One thing that can help, that can make us walk in darkness, is a poor relationship with our Christian brethren. Another thing is a persistence in doing evil, as it talks about in 1 John 3, verse 9. Another way we can walk in darkness is to have a refusal to practice the truth. And another way we can walk in darkness is a perpetual deceitfulness. So in order to prevent sin creeping back into our lives, we have to walk in the light. The privilege of having fellowship, when we walk in the light, we have the privilege of having fellowship with God and all the Christian brethren. We have the blessing of the promise of the perpetual cleansing from our sins. And we have the blessing of having our sins forgiven when we walk in the light. Tonight, maybe you have sin in your life, sin that is keeping you from walking in the light or is keeping you separated from God. Maybe tonight you have yet to accept Christ as the ultimate atoning sacrifice, as the one who gave his life for your sins, for my sins, for the sins throughout the world, in order to be washed away by his blood. Don't let the price that was given for all of our sins be given in vain. Tonight, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized in his body. Or if you need prayers from the church to help you walk in the light, then let us help you. Whatever the case may be, please come forward as we stand and sing.